Hello and good evening, everyone. Glad to see every one of you on this evening. May this have been a great start to y'all's day, and may this week go very well for y'all, and that in everything that y'all do, whether in word or deed, y'all glorify our God and Father who is in heaven. As Mr. Bonner had introduced this lesson, we're going to be talking about living single and its challenges. Living single and its challenges. And surprisingly, this was a difficult lesson for me to be able to formulate. But we're going to give it a shot. I want to start by mentioning, and let me move this real quick. Is this going to be too much in your way, Danielle? Okay. All right. I want to start by mentioning what the wisest man ever said, next to Jesus, of course. He would say, two are better than one, because they have a great reward for their labor. And then he would say about how, and it's skipping my mind right now. Wow. Okay, it's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. Wow. All right. In Ecclesiastes 4, beginning at verse 9, Solomon wrote, and I'm going to wait for y'all to get there real quick, and this is titled, The Value of a Friend. The Value of a Friend. He would say, two are better than one because they have a reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who has no one when he falls, because he has no one to lift him up. And he said, again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And then he said, though one may be overpowered, two can withstand, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. And I'm reminded about how when we talk about our relationship with Christ, we often are, we might reference it as being married to Christ, and rightfully so. I'm reminded that in Ephesians chapter 5, when Paul was talking about the marriage relationship that Christians have with Christ, he would say that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. And then he would say, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And that reminds me about what the psalmist Asaph would say in Psalm 73, verse 25. He would say, who do I have but you alone? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. And he was saying that in reference to God. And that should be our same attitude as well when single. Wanting to desire him more than any male, more than any female on the earth. And so he deserves our devotion. He deserves our devotion. We have to be devoted to being married to Christ, not only offering it through lip service, but actually showing it through our conduct. And of course, that's easier said than done. A second one I want to talk about is separateness. Separateness. And then I want to get into another one after that. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Whenever it comes to being married to Christ, well, God, Christ, he has to be our best friend. We ought to desire spending time with him more than anyone else. Spending time in his word, and then also meditating upon his precepts night and day. And over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul, he would say something that really gets down into the soul, into the spirit of man. He would say, O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our hearts are wide open. He says, you are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own affections. Now, in return for the same, I speak as to children. He says, you also be open. And then in verse 14, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what accord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of God, as God has said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be to you a father, and ye shall be to me my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, my beloved, having these promises, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Now, the reason that I mention that is because we got to watch who we associate with. We often quote 1 Corinthians 15:33, and rightfully so. It says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits." But also, we know that the opposite is true. We can be able to influence those who we come into contact for good. However, I want to mention the next verse, but I need to say this. So I'll be spending time with unbelievers. I'll be trying to convert them. And I've been guilty of this, where I said, okay, I'm going to wait for a convenient time to be able to share the word with them. And then I keep on building that relationship with them. And it's like, Leon, when is that perfect time going to come? Are you making an excuse? Then reads verse 34. "Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." And so are we influencing them with the knowledge of God? Or are we letting them overwhelm us by the influence of worldly thinking? That could come from our family who aren't Christians. You may be a new convert, and all the family that you have, all the friends that you have, they're all not Christians. And of course, they don't have your best interests in mind, though they don't know it. That's just how they're thinking. Or it may be your coworkers. Of course, we have to be around coworkers. There's no way to get around that, unless you work remotely. But still, even then, you talk with the coworkers on the chat. But we want to make sure that we're influencing them and not having them influencing us, because that could draw us away from the Lord. And whenever you're single, you don't have that spouse to be able to say, "Hey, you need to watch out what you're doing right there with those people. You need to do what's right." And then you get to the next point right here, is decision. We need to make a decision whenever we're single. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 20. Yes, sir? Yes.
You brought up some excellent points. That 2 Corinthians 7, 1 is very important to the point that you made concerning 2 Corinthians 6, 14, to the end of the chapter. The reason why is it says perfecting holiness in the fear of God.
That's right.
And so bringing holiness to a completion, which is something that we're always doing, but we have to be facing the right direction. So being single, that holiness has to be there. Abstaining from the appearances of evil, making sure that I am wholly dedicated to Christ, to the Father. I want to make sure that I'm separating myself. Because if you don't, you'll carry that into your marriage. And that's what you don't want to do. You want to practice holiness in the flesh and in the mind. So when you enter into that marriage, it'll be there as well. Because just because you get married doesn't mean those things go away. And so you need to be perfecting that. And I love how you began with having that relationship with Christ, reading and talking about His Word to one another, helping each other. So you can get those things corrected or work on those things to a point where when you enter into that relationship with you and your spouse, then it's going to be upright. It's going to be holy. It's going to be you and her, or her. Yeah. So great, excellent.
Thank you for that, sir. Mr. Braswell?
I'm just going to add, too, real quick, when he said, I would add and say that marriage, especially your companionship, two can come together. Any insecurity or any weakness that you would have would be only amplified in the marriage. So you better be grounded in the truth if you're going to get there. Because in marriage, that bond will create strength or it'll create weakness. You'll grind yourself to a powder, destroy each other, or you'll build each other up. It's hard to really, in my mind, see a middle road there.
Yes, sir.
Marriage can be really good or really bad.
And he brings up excellent points, especially with the insecurity part, because there was things that, even in my own heart, that didn't get rectified, and when I got married, it amplified. And I'm 53, and I still have to deal with those things. And so, practicing, bringing holiness to a completion in your mind and in your flesh now, being single, you need to do that before you get married, because if not, you'll bring a rift into your relationship with your spouse that is hard to overcome. So, appreciate that.
Now, I appreciate those points, and you made me think about Eric.
I was going to say, but when you're single and you already been through the marriages and divorces, you still have to know how to carry yourself by following God's word, stay fast to it, to where that you avoid those people, how they talk and how they might talk about you because of your consistency, following the word, because that makes him look bad, and you're kind of a person to take it out on the word. I have to get an argument or something. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say is the singleness of a man when he's older, you know, you should be wise and do the right things to show other people that you're doing that, because they're watching.
Thank you for sharing that, Mr. Lopez. And we're actually going to get to something that you had hinted at, encouraging ourselves in the Lord. That's going to be later. And you may even think about whenever you're a single Christian, just wholly being focused upon the Lord. Paul would say, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Philippians 1:21, and then in Philippians 2:21, he would say, "For all seek their own, not the things which be of Jesus Christ." And so we want to be fully devoted. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Now notice this right here. It says, and this is actually written to the young man, and of course we have some young singles in here. And then, of course, this not only applies to the young singles, but also, this is what I had learned, whenever you're younger, you're building those habits. And so, of course, whenever you get older, if you haven't got those bad habits taken care of, you're going to keep on practicing them. And I was reading in this book, it's like, well, someone probably doesn't start drinking or gambling at 75. That's something that they've been doing their whole life, and they haven't got it sorted out. And so they're continuing in that, but if we can be able to get the right habits built young, it'll carry on. Now, verse 20. It says, "But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor." And so right here, we want to be a vessel. We want to be a container of that which is filled with holy and those things which are pure, not those things which are impure and full of filthiness. We want to be a vessel of honor. That is that gold and silver that has those elements that are worth more, not of the wood and the clay, those things which are less valuable. Verse 21, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself," notice, "cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, set apart," and notice, useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Then he gets into verse 22, "Flee also youthful lust, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart." That makes me think about 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. He would say, "Do not rebuke an older man, but exhort him as a father." younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters, with all purity, having that pure aspect in there. And then you had raised your hand, Jaden.
Yes, sir. A lot of times, especially for men, I can only speak as a man because that's all I've ever been. Sometimes we are a little prideful and think we can overcome a situation whenever we're in it. But this inspired by the Holy Spirit call, man, is telling another man to flee youthful lust. Sometimes we as men think that running away is weak. But a lot of times in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 8, for example, God says, take them out and then retreat from them. Just because we are running from something does not mean we're losing that battle. It may just mean we're repositioning, we're re-evaluating the situation, or in this case, we're listening to God. Sometimes when we walk ourselves into temptation, we're doing it because we think we're strong enough to fight it. But the Holy Spirit is saying, flee youthful lust. Some things we're supposed to fight, yes, but also these things, youthful lust for men especially, flee those things. You don't have to prove yourself to anybody. Because if you mess up, you're not just making a little mistake. You're sinning and separating yourself from God. So I think we have to understand that humility plays a big part in purity when we apply those things correctly.
I appreciate you for sharing that, Jaden. And you made me think about the word accountability. Accountability. And Paul would say about if anyone among you, or where's it at? It's in Galatians 6, verse 1. In Galatians 6, verse 1, okay, it says, brethren, if any man is overtaken in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so you've got that responsibility, accountability. And I've told a brother before, if you need to call me, it doesn't matter what time it is, call me. If you need help through something, it could be at 12 o'clock at night, call me, and I'm going to do the same. Because we're not in this alone. We've got the church for a reason, to be able to lean upon one another, but we got to utilize that. We got to utilize that and be open. Be open for people to approach us. Be approachable. All right. From here, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And you might have thought I would have brought this one out first, but no. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 32. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 32. And this one is going to be dealing with a time aspect of being single, because we know that whenever you're married, well, now you spend time with your wife. Then once you have kids, now you spend time with your wife and your kids. So your time, it just keeps on getting focused onto your family. But whenever you're single, you got more time. You got more time. Now verse 32 says, but I want you to be without care. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. There is a difference between a wife and a virgin. The unmarried woman cares about the things of the Lord, that she may be holy both in body and in spirit. But she who is married cares about the things of the world, how she may please her husband. And this I say for your own profit, not that I may put a leash on you, but for what is proper, and that you may serve the Lord without distraction. That makes me think about a woman by the name of, I don't remember her name exactly right now, but I want to say it's in, okay, Anna. She was a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel. And this woman, she was about 84 years old, and she did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was a widow. Her time was wholly devoted to God, right there in Luke chapter 2. And so I'm also reminded about Jesus, the most perfect example. He says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 4, verse 34. And then in John 9, verse 4, he would say, the night is coming when no man can work. He said, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work. And so he was on it. He was on it. He wasn't wasting no time. He was having more time. Then Paul, okay, actually, I already mentioned that one right there. Oh, I want to make this point real quick. Okay, let's say that people, they get married, I'm just going to say a late age, 30. Okay, I'm going to say 30. That's pretty late in our day and time, would you say? 30? People getting married about like 20? I'd say Jesus went 33 years without being married. Paul, he went his whole life. What's that, like 60 plus years without being married? And so if they could be able to keep themselves pure and holy during all that time, y'all can be able to keep yourselves pure and holy until that time when y'all get married. What's that, 20 to 25? Y'all can do it. Now, I want us to look at another point. Reminders. We have to remind ourselves, since we don't have a spouse, we got to remind ourselves about what God has said. Let's go to John 16, verse 32. And this is a very sentimental one right here, to tell you the truth. The context starts over there in John chapter 13. Jesus and his disciples, they're in the upper room sharing the Passover meal the night before his betrayal. And we learn that he's going to say these words to his disciples hours before he's about to be crucified. He said, "Indeed, the hour is coming and has now come that you will all be scattered, each to his own, and you will all leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." And then he would say, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And so though his disciples, once the shepherd was smitten, they were going to be scattered. But he knew that he was not alone, that he had his heavenly Father with him. And the same is true for every one of us. When we feel like we're alone, well, we're not alone. We got to remember this example that Jesus had said. And then this reminds me about what Paul had said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, the last chapter. He said, "At my first defense, no one stood by me." He said, "Everyone forsook me. May the Lord not charge it against them." He said, "But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered from the mouth of a lion, and yes, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory and honor. Amen." And so, though these great men of God were alone physically, they knew spiritually that the Heavenly Father was with them, and they were able to make it through those tough times. Now, with that being said, I want us to take our attention to 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. And this is gonna hit on what Eric was mentioning. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6. And let me read this real quick as a little context, because I didn't remember, but I had it written down. It says in 1 Samuel 30, we read of David and his men being ordered to go home, only to find out when they return that their home had been invaded, attacked, and burned with fire. Then the situation, as tragic as it was already, became worse when they learned that their wives and children had been carried away captive. And so David and his men lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. Then we get to verse 6. First Samuel 30, verse 6. And the scripture here reads, "Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in who? In the Lord his God." And the same needs to be true for every one of us. Whenever we don't know where to look, we should look up, as Jehoshaphat did in 2 Chronicles 20. He said, "We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." And in Psalm 61, I'm reminded that the psalmist would say, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a strong tower from me, from the enemy." And so we should be able to go to God in prayer. And I'm not talking about one of those shallow prayers. I'm really talking about pouring your heart out to God in prayer, whether married or single. Because sometimes we can find a physical person and just pour out our heart, but let's do it to God. Let's be open like that, and we'll be able to overcome these different challenges, whether married or single. Mr. Bonner?
You brought up that first Samuel 30, verse 6, and you put it in that context, like what you just said. Sometimes you need to encourage yourself in the Lord in prayer.
That's right.
If you're discouraged, or maybe the challenges are too much for you to bear in your mind, you need to encourage yourself to keep on praying. Encourage yourself to keep reading. Encourage yourself to put yourself around the right people so you can succeed. And just because you've been challenged doesn't mean it's sexual challenges. Sometimes it's just being lazy. Putting things off. Not going forward, you know? Sometimes we have those mindsets, well, I just can't go forward. Yes, you can. Get not those things out of my mind. Look for the things out of the head that are here. Restore them all.
That's exactly right.
Sometimes you need to encourage yourself to do that. Don't allow other people to encourage you.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Williamson?
You know, add to that, and others, the situation there, all the people were grieved, and their response wasn't grief. David did something totally opposite of that. Doesn't mean that he wasn't grieving himself, but he strengthened himself in the Lord. What kind of example does he come to those around about him? He put his faith in God. He strengthened himself in Jehovah. And that is an example to those around about him too. Okay, yes, you're grieved, but this is how you get past this.
Thank you for that, sir. And so we ought to encourage ourselves in prayer, in reminders about how God can be able to get us through any difficulty that we're facing. Jesus, I'm reminded in Mark chapter 1, it says, "Now having risen a great while before daylight, he went to a solitary place, and there he prayed." He started his day off with prayer. And then, of course, offering up prayers through the day, staying in that connection, in that relationship with the Heavenly Father. Any comments? Any comments? Yes, Mrs. Watts.
I know that when this specific lesson is about when you're single, and you've mentioned how, you know, you don't have a wife, you may not have a husband that can help pull you up and all that, and those are all true. But just because someone is married doesn't mean, to go back to what Mike was saying, that we don't have to go to the Father on our own. Because sometimes your spouse, they can't bear what it is, whatever it is that you're doing.
That's a good point. That's a great point. Was there more? Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Mr. Lopez?
I was going to say, you know, join the Word. You join the Word every morning, you know, if you have something that's trying to pick you off that track that you're going, and you're on that consistent thing up in the morning and join reading the Word, you can tell that your heart might be hurting, but you still got to keep going, and that's the hardest part too. So, you know, even though I can't see it, I still want to see the way it goes, and that keeps the Word on my mind, and on the means of the things affecting me. And sometimes I fail, but still I still get back up and do it. Or I talk to, you know, my brother, and tell him what's going on, or I just kind of.
Bearing one another's burdens and encouraging yourself in the Lord. Thank you for sharing that, sir. Anyone else? Anyone? Mrs. Bonner.
I really would like to emphasize that sometimes I think we need to encourage, or the singles need to be encouraged, that there is absolutely nothing wrong with being single. there is a joy and there is a role that God has placed on that time of life. There is always a time of life that's going to be difficult. But I think too often those that are single view singlehood as something bad, something they want to get out of, something that they dislike being in, and society has given reason for that. But when it is done correctly, the struggles are worth it because there's a struggle in every cycle of life. But the struggle as a single, who is a person who has devoted themselves to the Lord, is joy. And it is fulfilling. And it is an opportunity to prepare yourself for life that is lost sometimes by the time you get married and by the time you have children. But there's an opportunity with single people that is lost because they're so focused on the struggle of being single instead of the joys of being single.
You said a mouthful right there. Thank you for sharing that right there. Yeah, and like that goes back to the one point, having more time to be able to prepare yourself for the rest of the time that we have left on this earth once we are married.
Not sacrifice other people in the process. You have the time to prepare without a husband there or a wife or children. You know, in times that they are relying on you, now you have the opportunity to be prepared for when they will rely on you instead of having them rely on you when you're not prepared. And that's a heartache in and of itself as well.
Preparation, not rushing into that marriage relationship. And you made me think about something, and then I'm gonna get to you real quick, Anna. Okay. Whenever it comes to getting married, I had mentioned this in a Bible class one time. Sometimes there's these younger individuals, and then they'll be, I would say, immature, and then for some reason we marry them off to Christ. But would we marry him off to another 17-year-old? Would we marry him off to another 20-year-old? Being mature, being ready for that marriage relationship, whether spiritual or physical. Whether spiritual or physical. Anna? Oh, okay. Jamie? Absolutely. I agree with you 100% on that. Enjoying all of the time that you have single right now, being able to have more time to be able to evangelize, to do the work of the church. Not saying that you won't whenever you're married, but you just have those more opportunities. Anyone else? Anna?
Whether we got married, whether we not, whether we didn't, our parents were still going to be there for us.
I appreciate you for you saying that, because I was going to reserve this comment, but I would say it to you, and my parents aren't going to like to hear this, but I had told him, I was like, Mom, Dad, I'm just going to be single like Paul or like Jesus. And they're like, no, please, no, stop. But I'm telling you, there's some days whenever you get to the end of that day and you're just like, God, please help me. Just praying, relying upon Him for strength. And of course, that's not the road that everyone takes. However, whether leading up to marriage or just planning on staying single, you still got to rely upon God through all that process. And so, thank you for sharing that. Did you raise your hand, Mr. Bonner? Oh, Maya.
I was just going to say, I appreciate your comment, because I do think that there's a conception to singleness that is conjoined to isolation or loneliness. And, you know, when people think, oh, you're single, or what are the challenges of singleness, you know, that is kind of what's coupled with that, you know, being lonely. But there are other relationships in your singleness that you can be cultivating, that you can be building with members of the church, that when you do get married, those very same relationships, your marriage may encourage, or your marriage may need encouragement from. And so there are times where I think that, you know, these single people, I'm alone, I don't have anybody, I need a spouse, I need a significant other. But there are other relationships within the church that are so important that help build those marriages when they come together. Or your marriage builds those relationships once you get with someone. So those things don't just come out of nowhere. You have to spend time in them and cultivate them. And that's an important thing to focus on too, it seems.
Excellent, excellent comment. You made me think about a scripture. Please turn with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 46. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. And we're going to read verse 47 as well. And Jaden, if you don't mind, could you read these two scriptures for us? Acts 2, verses 46 and 47. You thought I was going to go to verse 38, right? No, I'm sorry.
And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking the bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
Thank you. I wanted to emphasize on the first part of that verse. So continuing daily with one accord. I mean, I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't mind just going to your house every day and just sitting on your couch and just saying, hey, what's up? But I know everyone's not like that. But what I'm trying to get at is what Maya had really stressed upon, building those relationships with one another. Not only here, but outside of these four walls and extending out into the world. I know that Luke and Evan, we've hanged out outside of the services. I even ate with Mr. Watts at Chipotle, and so we were bachelors for that day right there. But just trying to cultivate those relationships with one another, because they definitely can come into play later in life. Evan?
I was just going to add to that time management point of having a balance, because I think especially sometimes we intentionally overschedule, so we don't spend time with ourselves. And I've seen people, like, they do a lot of good, but if they don't take care of themselves, they allow their good to be evil spoken of, because they burn themselves out and become unreliable. So we have to balance that out.
You know, I've been guilty of that, so I really thank you for sharing that one right there. Managing your time in a very responsible way while being single. Not over-scheduling yourself, as Evan said right there. He keeps me on track, so thankful for him right there. Any other comments?
Yeah, Remember, Timothy was single, and in 1 Timothy, he seems to be under some stress as a single evangelist minister, and he's at Ephesus. If you'll read that text, you'll tell Timothy multiple times to basically take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You have to learn when to take care of yourself. You can't handle the world's problems. Only the Lord can do that. Mm. That had to be a very hefty sure what that was, but he was physically sick. He tells him that he can provide remedy for his stomach's sake. So the Lord doesn't, he wants us to be good servants.
Yes, sir. All right. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 now. And you probably thought I was going to pull this one out first right here, but I'm going to save it to right now. I'm going to save it to right now because I want to say Jaden and Mr. Bonner had a hit on it, because usually whenever we say 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, we're just thinking about with the opposite sex, the fleshly desires. But it can be more than that. I mean, it could be overeating. You want to go do all these things with your friends, smoking, drinking. No. Flee all those things, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now notice right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. He says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the belly and the belly for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. And then he would say, and God also, or he says, now the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is outside the body. But he who commits fornication sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. The reason that I brought that up is because whenever you're single, you may be making boyfriends or girlfriends. Let's kind of flip that. Let's make friend boys friend girls. Court. Don't be automatically going to that. Just whenever you're single, making sure if you're going to go out with the opposite sex, go to a public place. Keep yourselves from any type of temptations, because we don't want to be guilty of that. I'm reminded that we're married to Christ. And Hosea, when referencing the nation of Israel, he would say that they had committed spiritual adultery on God. And all God was trying to do was love them. And sin against love is a heinous crime, is a heinous sin right there. And so we want to make sure to make no provision for the flesh. We want to make sure to counter that at all costs. And so I would just hit upon that because, I mean, that's one of the big ones. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But also there's other things. We don't want to be running around with the wrong crowd doing all these sinful things. Any comments? Any questions? Chad?
He continues on in chapter 7 about he can control himself, and then it is better for you to go ahead and get married.
Exactly. Exactly.
You're not sitting there running around with one game.
That's right.
Tell me that one time. It's better for young people to get married than sit around with one game.
You know, thank you for just... Yeah, just bold. Bold preaching right there. That's right. Plain and simple. Plain vanilla.
Well, it takes all the ambiguity out of what God's intention is for man and woman. There's a place. You know, it's in marriage. It's not just running around.
That's right.
There's no honor in that. There's no principle in that. So we can take all the sensuality out of that and just get to the reasons. A home is sanctified. But everything outside of that, as you quoted earlier, so I mean, you can't control yourselves, young men, young ladies. Don't come crying when you're going to lose your soul and go to hell eternally because you just did nothing honorable.
That's right.
You sold your soul, your body. There's physical harm, there's disease, There's things that God can't protect you from. But in the home, in the marriage, it's a perfect and great thing. It's beautiful.
And that marriage relationship was created by God. And you made me think about what the Hebrews writer would say in Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage is honorable among all things and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And so we don't want to fall into that.
I just want to add, don't let fornication cause you to rush in and make a bad decision either. So
that's exactly
God desires discipline, and if you can't discipline yourself when you're single, even when it comes to fornication, then you're not going to discipline yourself when you're married, and it needs to be disciplined in marriage too, in the sense that it's just with your spouse. So it is true, it's better to marry than to burn, but don't let that burning fornication cause you to rush in and make the wrong, a permanent wrong decision.
That's exactly right. You reminded me about what Evan had said one day about how if two, they fornicate and then they have a baby, that is not the reason to marry, because then that marriage is going to be built upon the baby. But we know that the foundation, the house, has to be built upon the Lord. Psalm 127, though it's a very delicate subject, but that's the God honest truth.
I know fornicating and all that has been around forever, but even in American society, it's a lot of the young people now, it's you're being sold that you can have both. You don't need the marriage and you can have all the fleshly, you know, pleasure and desire. Whereas maybe 30, 40, 50 years ago, I know some people were doing that, but that was not the great consensus of a society. And so for the younger generation now, they have to know that. Like, that is a lie. You know, it's not true. And anyone that is living in the world, whether they're a Christian or not, but living that way, fornicating, you know, just hooking up with people, you know, the one night stand, oh, whatever, they lie to themselves. Society lies to you and tells you that, oh, you can have both. Like, you don't need the commitment. You don't need the stress of, you know, wife or husband. And you can just go, that's nothing more than a noun. And so as Christians, like you say, we have to go to the Word, we have to go to the Lord, and we have to allow Him to mold us in whatever state we find ourselves, whether that's single or married, or divorced, or widowed, or, you know, whatever, and allow Him to mold us, and don't listen to the world, because there, I know it's coming in from all angles, from society.
Excellent, excellent point right there. And I'm sure that we're nearing the end. So does anyone stop whenever, like, I go over? I didn't know that that was over. Oh, all right, I'm going to stop. I didn't know that it went over. Right, we stop it. Oh, okay, got 3 minutes left. And never mind, sorry. I thought it was like 45. Anna? Exactly. Well said. Well said. And so I'll leave y'all with this. And this is a very soul-piercing one. It's from Jeremiah 29, verse 13, in which Jeremiah would write the words of the Lord. And the Lord said, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so, brethren, I encourage us, those who are Christians, to be able to look at those marriage vows that we made to Christ and see if we're doing all that we can to be faithful to Him. Even though you might be single, if you're a Christian, you're still married spiritually to Christ. Thank y'all for y'all's time.